Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
To a live broadcast of the Looking Up Show. It's Wednesday, the 9th of October. We're in 2024 and almost at the end. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. Hard to
unbelievable.
Believe.
That voice you heard there is, of course, the voice of my wonderful co-host here, Pastor Danny. How are you, Pastor Danny?
I'm praising the Lord and, enjoyed a great weekend. Lots Good. Of sunshine before the rain came.
Yes.
In our like, part of the world anyway.
It feels like winter's back today.
I know. It's so cold again.
But God has been good. We have so much to talk to you about today, so much to share, and we'd love to hear from you all too. Because it's a live broadcast, we invite you to feel free to connect with us at any time through text messages. You can text us on our dedicated studio number 0488-817-624. And as part of today's program, we always have a giveaway, and today we have 10 giveaways.
Oh, this is unprecedented.
It is a little bit unprecedented.
Of what we're giving away.
It is. Should we tell them about it now?
I think you should.
So some of you may have already seen it, but The Hopeful is a film that has just, it's in cinemas right now, I believe. Is that correct?
It's premiering October 17th, next Thursday.
Next week.
So okay. We had the pre-screening for the special people.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
No, but you have.
I have. So I'll talk a little bit about that.
All right. And so, yes, we have 10 hopeful double passes to give away today, which will be express posted to your door. Our wonderful producer, Shell, she says she will process our tickets tomorrow. So if you're a winner today, you will be able to receive your ticket tomorrow. There'll be, if you text in the code when we give it to you, you'll be the one who receives it, and there'll be no robot interaction. If you do text, Shell will just get to you tomorrow. So the first 10 people will get that. And so that's something to look forward to. And just as we wait for that, I'll just share this.
Does it include popcorn and...
No popcorn. I don't see that of that here. But I do have a text somebody has sent to us their review of the film. This is one of our Faith FM listeners.
One of our listeners. Okay, let's hear it.
He's from Moolumbah Church, Moolumbah Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he says, it's a great...
This is Paul.
How'd you know?
Oh, he sent it to me as well.
Okay, yeah, I think he sent to every presenter, so he'll probably get a mention on every show, but
I think so.
Paul, this is what Paul had to say. Great film based on real events that show strength of character and faith and hope in God. A must see. It's in cinemas around Australia and New Zealand from October 17, and then he has the website, thehopefulmovie.com.au for trailer and screaming.
No, you won't be doing any screaming. But in some of the previews that happened beforehand, you'll be doing a lot of screaming. But we'll get to that.
We don't want to see that. All right. So that's that. But for our listeners today that have tuned into this show, thank you to Shell for that beautiful intro. I don't know if you noticed. That's a whole bunch of new songs.
It's a brand new intro. Go, Shell.
Beautiful, beautiful intro. So, Pastor Danny, what is our subject today?
Well, today we're going to continue to obviously cover what's been making news headlines from a prophetic point of view. So we're going to put our prophecy glasses on once again. And by the way, I need to give a shout out to our friend Margaret.
You would know
Margaret. I saw her last night. She was at the Hopeful pre-screening there in Glendale.
I do know Margaret.
And she says she tunes in. She reminded me. She was one of our first listeners 4 years ago. And so she tunes in. And so big g'day to you, Margaret, if you're listening right now. And, you know, she reminded me of what we shared just, I think it was last week or the week before, where there's just so much going on in the space of a week.
So much going on in the space of a week.
And so we're going to continue to look and see what's making news headlines from a prophetic point of view. And then, God willing, and I think we will this time, I think we'll be able to continue with our Israel in Prophecy Bible study, because this is really critical, because one of the news items is in connection with Israel in Bible prophecy, the role of Israel. And so, especially what's going on in the Middle East, this is really catching the attention of Christian evangelists, pastors, the Christian community, those who have got an interest in Bible prophecy. So there's more and more of this shit. So I'll share a little more on that. So hopefully, God willing, we'll get to our Bible study in the latter part of this program.
Oh, well, there is so much to talk about, and really looking forward to our Bible study when we get to it as well. So you had a good weekend?
Yes, I did. We had a church camp.
Oh, and, wow. Where'd you go?
Yeah, we went to Elam Park, which is there in Foster.
Nice.
Beautiful spot, really beautiful spot, right on the beach there and the lake opposite there. Just a beautiful spot. So we spent Friday, Saturday, Sunday there, which was fantastic. Monday was a great day. Did some mountain biking, played some tennis.
Yep.
It was very sunny. My legs were exhausted by the end of the day. And I'm like, I know that I shouldn't be doing this at my age, but I just couldn't help myself.
Well,
what about
you?
How did you go? How did you go?
I'm trying to think. What happened on the weekend? Oh, it was a long weekend.
Yes, it was a long weekend.
I went to Sydney. I was actually participating. So on Sabbath, we were at Hamilton. And then after that, we went to Sydney. And there was, there was an Ellen White symposium exploring, Ellen White and how we should appreciate her writings in a contemporary, for a contemporary time. And I was part of that on the Sunday at the Media Center, Adventist Media. So anyway, can talk more about that another time, but I think we should listen to a song by the Christian Covers Official, and it's entitled "I Will Carry You." Beautiful song, beautiful message. Enjoy.
I know you're tired, I see it in your eyes. All that anxiety that rules your mind.
I'll be your shield when you don't feel like you got strength enough to fight. I'll stand by your side. Don't have to hide the parts of you that ain't.
I choose you as you are a million times, 'cause I am not ashamed of you. I won't walk away from you.
Christian Covers Official there, I Will Carry You, and you're still listening to the Looking Up program. We're coming to you live, and a reminder that today our giveaway are 10 hopeful double passes, which we will express post to you when we, if you're one of the first 10 people to text in today's code word, which we will give a little bit later on. This film opens in cinemas across Australia on the 17th of October. And again, the number, if you want to interact with us or be ready for that giveaway, is 0488-817-624. All right, Pastor Danny.
All right, well, let's
you say a few things now.
Let me say a few things now. not that I only say a few things. That's the biggest understatement on the planet. I just want to give a plug for a couple of programs that are taking place, including one that I will be speaking at in Coffs Harbour next Thursday.
Coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon. So a week and a day, Coffs Harbour. I'm looking forward to going there to share the Globalism and New World Order four-part series between Thursday, October 17, all the way through to Saturday, October 19. So those three days. All the details are there on the Faith FM website in the events page. So if you're anywhere near Coffs Harbour, I'd love to meet you, especially if you're one of our regular listeners. It'd be lovely to get acquainted with you and get to know you. There'll be a wonderful dinner on the Thursday evening. Charissa,
everybody should just show up.
Absolutely. Just for the dinner.
Just for the dinner.
And I know that it'll be great. And so, yeah, turn up for the dinner. The dinner will start at 6 o'clock. And then the program starts at 7. So that's October 17, Coffs Harbour. Feel free to go to the website and you can register there for the dinner and you can reserve your spot. Now, also our friend Robbie Bergen, he's running a program in WA on October 12. So that's coming up very, very soon. That's this weekend, I understand. Mm-hmm. Saturday, 6 p.m. There's also a free dinner in connection with his program. And Rob is looking at the subject of CBDCs, cashless societies, digital currencies, and Bible prophecy.
Sounds really, really good.
It does. And that, you know, that's a lot of the stuff we deal with as well. So
yes,
he's a bit of an expert on this, and he's been doing a lot of research and a lot of study for quite a long time in this space. So if you're there near Meriden in WA, October 12, this coming Saturday, book in for there. There's a dinner. Before that, this is all done. He was in Launceston this last weekend. So he was in Launceston, but he's also in East Narrabeen, WA. Mm-hmm. So that's on the Sunday, 6 p.m., another dinner, the same program. So back-to-back, big weekend for Robbie, and then, like I said, next Thursday at Coffs Harbour. So that's on the radar. What else do I want to share? I want to share regarding the Hopeful movie just a little bit.
Yes, you've seen it.
Yeah, I saw it. Well, for the second time.
I've seen it twice.
I saw it about a month ago when they had a pre-screening for a number of the ministers and other sort of leaders and so forth of the Adventist Church that came from here, there, and everywhere to see it in Tuggerah. So we saw it. However, that was a more pleasant experience, especially the pre-movie, than what I experienced in Glendale last night. So, folk, I do need to give you a heads up. Before the movie, and see, I don't go to the movie, Charissa, so I had forgotten about all these, you know, previews that they give of movies before the movie begins.
Yeah.
And they had lined up a whole heap, and it gave me an insight as to what Hollywood is pumping out these days.
What are they doing?
I'm telling you, it wasn't good. There were previews. There was about 10 or more movies that were previewed, and movies that contained witchcraft, like there was one that was entitled Wicked. There was another one entitled Heretic. That says it all. There was another one, looking at Halloween. There's a whole bunch of them that are there. One from Disney, a couple from Disney, with a lot of spiritualism, blasphemy, cursing, and so on and so forth. So, folk, if you want to avoid all that, that'll ruin, you know, that'll be give you a bad taste, as it did for me, and I'm still getting over it. I'd encourage you to go to the movie when it starts. So if it starts at 7 o'clock,
good advice.
Turn up at 7. Don't turn up at 7:15, and watch all the previews. So spare yourself. Trust me. Take it from me. You'll do yourself a huge favor. So they did advertise the Donald Trump movie that's coming out very soon, The Apprentice.
Oh yeah.
And so that was also advertised as well. But anyway.
Somebody's already texted us in.
Yes.
Michael is listening. Good to have you listening, Michael. And he says, I'll be there with bells on.
There you go.
So I assume he's talking about the movie.
Yeah. not the previews.
Yeah. Of course.
So anyway, it's a movie that, is based on the story of this prophetic movement that God raised up. You know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church and how God raised it up into being. And, the prophecies in connection with that are in scripture. Maybe one day we need to, visit them and just
I think that would be
share
amazing.
A little more so, because the movie only goes into so much detail.
Well, that would be a great idea, because I have a friend who also saw it and they said, a lot of people are going to think this is all there is to Adventist history, but there's so much more, really. It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that's right.
There's only so much you can tell in an hour.
That's right. And a movie's a movie.
The
scriptures are the scriptures. And so.
But the history is amazing.
Oh, it is amazing. So it begins with William Miller, and it takes us all the way through to the first missionary, the first official missionary being sent by the church, by the Adventist Church, which was Jane Andrews.
Right.
And he was sent in the 1880s, I believe, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of where the movie ends. And, yeah, so, look, it's a real interesting movie. It goes for 90 minutes, so it doesn't go for, like, very, very long. And I think people will enjoy it and get a taste for what God has done and is continuing to do.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, so that's about all we need to share in connection with that. And we can probably – did you have anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, just that Michael's clarified where he'll be. And he says he'll be at your lecture, Danny. In Coffs Harbour, I guess.
Oh, Coffs Harbour. Oh,
you'll get
wow.
to meet Michael. And that's exciting.
Okay, that's fantastic. Looking forward to it. And by the way, yeah, the movie begins October 17th. So it begins the night that I begin in Coffs Harbour.
Wow.
But it'll go for a few.
That's right. So
it'll go for a week at least.
If you're all wondering what to do, just go to hear Pastor Dan.
Exactly. And you'll get the free dinner, and then you can go watch the movie after
the program. Oh, we've got another. Oh, everybody's listening. Christina is also listening. Welcome, Christina. She has another great tip for everybody. The podcast called Adventist History is a great in-depth look into Adventist history. That's a great I have heard good things about the
that is
Adventist
really
history
really
podcast.
Good you're so, right yes absolutely
yeah, they
Christina,
see the movie
spot on.
Don't take that as everything. Keep listening, keep researching, keep reading, because there's some amazing stories which testify to how God led this movement.
Absolutely. And it's just incredible to know that, the scriptures actually foretold.
Yes.
The rising of this movement.
The which Adventist is movement is in prophecy.
The great disappointment and how God would raise up this movement out of a great disappointment based on what also took place in the Christian journey.
That's right.
When God raised up the Christian church through Christ after a great disappointment.
It was its birth certificate.
Absolutely. So, that's a great study. So
yeah,
I think we should definitely do that. We'll definitely do that. We'll try and finish off Israel, and while the movie's still going, and then while it's fresh in people's minds, as they've watched it, then we'll do the Bible study on how God raised up this movie. How does that sound?
I love it.
That sounds like a brilliant sequel.
And I'm sure everyone who could have reacted would have.
I'm sure we're getting a lot of thumbs up for sure. All right. So, let's take a look at, what's making news headlines, unless you've got something else or someone else has sent a message through.
No more messages. I think the headlines is exactly where it is. Jesus is coming soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the best headline and the only headline that really matters right now. But there is so many things happening in the world. I'm looking here at my news feed, and what everybody will be thinking about in the U.S. right now is that there is another hurricane on the way.
It's an enormous hurricane. Another one. Hurricane Helene was the largest, the greatest loss of life and damage since Hurricane Katrina in 2005.
Wow.
So that was 20 years ago.
Wow. Well, this was posted yesterday by a man named Noah Berggren, He's obviously from the US, and this was, yesterday. He said, this is nothing short of astronomical, this next hurricane, Hurricane Milton. He says, I am at a loss for words to meteorologically describe to you the storm's small eye and intensity. So I'm speaking now in American talk now, but it's 180 miles per hour.
That's 300 kilometers an hour.
Winds.
That is literally off the Richter scale.
And then it says gusts 200 plus miles.
No way.
Per hour, yes.
That's going to blow everything down.
Absolutely. And it says this is now the fourth strongest hurricane ever recorded by pressure on this side of the world. The eye is tiny. It's nearly 3.8 miles wide. This hurricane is nearing the mathematical limit of what Earth's atmosphere over this ocean water can produce.
Wow.
That's a quote from X, which is Twitter.
Wow.
It had 44 million views. Everybody's worried about this right now.
Have mercy.
You can understand.
Have mercy. Wow. Look, folk, what is taking place is in clear fulfillment of Bible prophecy, Sharissa.
Yes.
We're gonna tap into some of those statements from Great Controversy, which I think we probably need to tap into again because, we haven't for a little while, but, the author there, Ellen White, who is very much front and center of this hopeful movie that God raised up, this woman to be his end-time servant and share these messages to prepare us for the soon return of Jesus, directly talks about such events like this and that Satan will be behind these in order to bring about that final showdown. So we'll look at that. But this is going to be huge. And, the news headlines, are telling us that, this hurricane is going to be something. So unless God pulls up the handbrake on this hurricane, and God can, he can taper things down in a great deal. But if things continue as they are forecast, Florida in particular is in for some real, real serious disaster. Well, so that's coming, and that's going to hit about Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, our time tomorrow. So in 24 hours, we will begin to see what's transpiring there.
We just pray that
we need to do a lot of praying.
People can, hear the warnings and get to safety.
Indeed. I mean, people have been evacuating, like literally. It says here, I'm reading this particular article here from ABC News, where it says here, more than 1 million people in the Tampa Bay area were ordered to evacuate their homes on Tuesday after the system rapidly intensified to a Category 5 storm, which is what you're talking about, the highest level. And this is just phenomenal. 1 million people.
Yep.
1 million people having to evacuate their homes. If you see some of the images, and there are traffic jams. Literally, you cannot see the end of the traffic jam, on these freeways. And, people, I'm just trying to think of the right name, giving the warning. I'm not sure if he was a politician or if it was from the emergency services area. He said that individuals that are in a single-story home need to be above 12 feet high as the storm surge is predicted to come up to 12 feet. That's 4 meters.
4 meters high.
That's 4 meters.
Wow.
So they said if you're in a home and you're not above 12 feet.
Yep.
This is a direct quote from this interview. He says, so if you're in it, basically that's the coffin you are in.
Yeah.
So, people have been told to hit the road and to get out of there. So we need to really be praying for our brothers and sisters there in Florida. I mean, they've just been battered in a way.
They just had one too.
They just had one literally, a week, 2 weeks ago? Not even. We were talking about it last week, Hurricane Helene.
They still don't have the final death count on that.
No, that's over 200 so far. So anyway, this is telling us that Jesus is coming soon, and we were told that those labor pains would intensify, Sharissa.
Yes, and the closer you get to the coming of Jesus, the more intense they're going to be.
Exactly, just like those labor pains. What an incredible metaphor Jesus used. He couldn't have picked the better one. So we know that all this is leading to the final showdown. Mm-hmm. Let me just share with you, No, I won't share now because we've got like 15 seconds
Let
to go.
Let me just share with you.
I'll share the statement from Great Controversy in connection with this after the song.
All right. Caleb McKee is going to bring to us now a song we all need to hear. Do not be anxious.
Oh,
and after
amen.
That, we will continue these current events.
Life is hard, yeah, it's hard sometimes. You wanna give up the fight. You get stressed out and your mind is tired. You forget our one desire. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. 'Cause when your worries seem tall, your faith gets small. But praise our God that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Your heart's heavy and you feel unsure. You forget the big picture, the big picture. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. And when your worries seem tall, your faith gets more. But praise our God that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Why don't we rejoice in you always, rejoice in you always, rejoice in you always. Why don't we rejoice in you always, rejoice in you always, rejoice in you always. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Oh. Do not be anxious, oh God. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. 'Cause when your worries seem tall, your faith gets more. But praise our God that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He paid it all.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
My eyes fell.
And and you're listening to the Looking Up program here. And we're so glad that you're still with us and joining us if you have joined us during that song that we just had there. Well, we are having a good time here. We've got some amazing things to talk about as they relate to Bible prophecy and what would be taking place in the world before the greatest event, the event that we are looking forward to, the soon return of Jesus Christ. And we want to remind you that we have 10 hopeful giveaways today, 10 double passes to the movie Hopeful, which will go to cinemas and be premiering in cinemas across Australia and New Zealand on October 17. So stay tuned, because when we give you the code word, if you're one of the first 10 people to text it in, then our wonderful producer, Shell, she's going to express post your tickets to you tomorrow. So there'll be no robot interaction today. So that's something to stay tuned for. And again, our studio number, if you'd like to make use of it and connect with us at any time during today's broadcast with a comment, question, even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. 0488 817 624.
Fantastic. All right, well, Charissa, before we went to that beautiful song, mm-hmm. we were talking about how what we are seeing taking place with the hurricanes and wars and just everything, it's this intensification of the labor pains, these labor pains that Jesus spoke of.
Yes.
And in the book, The Great Controversy, Ellen White, she describes what we are seeing today. You know, God gave her insights, and she further elaborates on what we already have in Scripture. So it's not like she's sharing anything new. She's just starting to give more specifics. And I guess if you want to take, if I could use an analogy, you know, the Scriptures are like the bones, and what she does, she just puts more flesh and, you know, muscles and just zeroes in with that magnifying glass to what God has already shared with us in his script, in his word.
Mm.
So there's the particular chapter that I want to read a little from, and it's chapter 36 in The Great Controversy. It's entitled The Impending Conflict.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that says it all. The Impending Conflict. And there, Ellen White, and I won't read obviously large sections because we don't have the time regarding that. I encourage our listeners to get the book, The Great Controversy. You can read it online. You can listen to it online if you don't like to read. But I prefer to have my own copy that I can underline, and it's a really valuable resource. Anyway, chapter 36, The Impending Conflict. There she begins, and she talks about the great controversy in heaven. And the first war was Satan seeking to overthrow the law of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, the constitution of heaven. And so we know that the end time issue over worship will be centered on God's holy law. Okay, we know that because yes. He's angry with those who keep the commandments of God, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, keep the commandments of God, have the faith of Jesus, Revelation 12, 17, Revelation 14,
and you 12. Can't worship God unless you're keeping his commandments.
Exactly. So the law of God is a transcript of his character. It's the constitution of heaven and the constitution of the universe. So basically, the constitution is the most important document of a nation.
You alter the constitution, you change the nation.
Absolutely. Exactly right, to put it nice and simply. So that's how she begins this chapter, and she talks about how Satan will seek to destroy the constitution of heaven that mm-hmm. God has here for his people, which is his law of love, mm-hmm. which is the Ten Commandments in particular, and the whole word. The entire scriptures are based on God's Ten Commandments, okay?
Right.
Because Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's all of scripture hangs on those two principles. Love towards God, love towards your fellow man, which is a summary of the Ten Commandments. All right, so as you go through that chapter, you discover how Satan has been trying to destroy God's law in order to uplift his own worship agenda in order for people to worship him, because that's what he wants.
That's right.
He wants worldwide worship.
That's the only way he can steal worship, is if they gets them to
exactly
neglect God's law.
Exactly. So what Satan's seeking to do, he's seeking to bring about absolute chaos and confusion in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos and confusion in order to then bring about or roll out his plan of peace and safety, mm-hmm. which will be focused on worshiping him and persecuting those who worship God.
And we should say that the person behind that plan if it's the devil, it's not going to last and it's not going to be good.
Exactly right. So, so it's only short term.
It's all short term. It's all a fake.
It's all very much a fake, and it's short term that'll lead to the final showdown, which immediately leads to the second coming of Jesus. So this is this is the climax of human history. So it's a short term.
He's presuming to take the place of Christ to be the Prince of Peace, but only Jesus can bring peace.
Exactly. And he will only last with this charade of his for a short time, the Bible says. Only a short time. For 1 hour. Remember? We read that in Revelation.
Which is symbolic time.
Symbolic time. That 1 hour is symbolic time short for just time. A short time. All right. So as we read through, let me just read to you little sections, little snippets here, just to share with you what's happening right now and how he is setting a number of different ingredients up in order to bring about this final showdown. So have a look at this statement here. Ellen White writes, Courts of justice are corrupt. Mm-hmm. Rulers are actuated by desire for gain and love of sensual pleasure. Intemperance has beclouded the faculties of many so that Satan has almost complete control of them. She goes on, jurists are perverted, bribed, deluded. Drunkenness and revelry, passion, envy, dishonesty of every sort are represented among those who administer the laws. And then she quotes Isaiah 59:14. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. All right. So what she's describing here, we're going to continue from here, but she's describing that justice, the rule of law, corruption is rife. And guess what? That then begins to lead to other areas. Because when corruption is rife, when the laws of the land are not, when they're not being respected as they ought to, when governments and rulers and so forth have got their own personal vested interest, which we see, then that's going to lead in only one direction. Okay. So that's how Satan begins to destroy the fabric of society. Then she goes on. She says, the iniquity and spiritual darkness that prevailed under the supremacy of Rome were the inevitable result of her suppression of the scriptures. All right. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. We've got the Bible more than at any other time. But guess what? We're reading it less and less. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We're more illiterate today than we ever were.
That's true.
And yeah, we've got the scriptures everywhere. We've got it on our phones. We've got them on our bookshelves.
I have it on my watch.
You've got it on your watch. And so we have that. Okay. So we see where Satan is working. Then she talks about different ideas to bring about, you know, well, to magnify Sunday and Sunday observance in society. And we are seeing that. And we've talked about that. Then she talks about, through the great era of the immortality of the soul and spiritualism. What do we have in the movies today? Do we have in books and so forth? And I'm going to share a book that my sister Lydia shared with me that is really making the rounds, especially amongst young people. It's not really for young people, but they're reading it, and it's a New York Times bestseller, and this will freak you out if nothing else does. And so we see that. Then she talks about spiritualism so closely imitates nominal Christianity that now true Christianity has lost its power. And when true Christianity loses its power, guess where Christianity wants to go to get power? To the government. You go to the government.
Yes.
When you lose Holy Spirit power because you have moved away from the scriptures.
That's exactly what happened in the time of Christ.
Exactly. Exactly. The religious leaders lost influence in the time of Jesus because the Holy Spirit was absent. And it will be exactly the same at the end of time. When there's no Holy Spirit power, then we seek for political power.
Yes.
To achieve for us what the Holy Spirit cannot achieve because he's absent.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so she's
what a disaster.
Yeah, so she's talking about all this. So this is going on. She says the line of distinction between professed Christians and the ungodly is now hardly distinguishable. I'm just reading like a sentence or two there in each paragraph. Is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then she goes on and she says, through spiritualism, Satan appears as a benefactor of the race. Okay. So spiritualism is making inroads more and more. It's become popular. It's become fashionable. It's now considered entertainment, harmless entertainment for children, for adults, for everyone. Isn't that right?
Yep.
And all the world's religions, we've talked about this before, they have one thing in common.
Mm-hmm.
They believe there's life after death, the immortality of the soul, which is the very foundation of spiritualism. Can you see how everything's coming together? All right, now let's take a look at what she says about what's going on here. All right, so with all that in place, so she goes on, she says, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature. Interesting. And he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. Okay, and then she describes Job and what happened to Job, and you can read about that in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. She goes on, she says, while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation.
Wow.
Is that what we're seeing with Hurricane Helene?
Yes.
And many others, and now Milton bearing down. Mm-hmm. She goes on. Even now he's at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, that's like big fires, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. So who's exercising his power?
Satan.
He sweeps away the ripening harvest and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint and thousands perish by the pestilence. And then she goes on, listen to these words. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. That's those labor pains.
We're seeing it. We're watching it happen every day. You know, just in, as you were talking about adding to the air a deadly taint, I've just got a, this came on my phone as we were on air, but it's another news station, and it says Hurricane Milton can hit hazardous facilities, triggering fires, poisonous air and water. So basically, the storm does the damage, then it's going to release into the air things that are also harmful as well. So
wow,
yeah,
yeah. Well,
everything just compounds, really.
It is, and there's nuclear facilities.
Yeah,
you know, in the US and Europe and many other parts, we don't have them. Australia yet. The opposition would like to have them. Mm. Anyway, let me continue reading here. She says, and then, okay, notices, and then, isn't it interesting? She uses the same language as Jesus.
Yes.
You know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, in various places. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. That's Matthew 24, verse 9. We've looked at that.
Yep.
She says, and then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. Uh-huh.
That's why it's like in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13, it's like they do this U-turn. It's like the world, then you. They will turn on you. They'll hate you. They'll deliver you up.
Exactly. So why is that? She says, the class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, which is where everything is going, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, thus destroying the reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. So what does this tell us? This tells us that what we are seeing is going to intensify. God's people are going to be blamed. Sunday will be exalted. And those who do not want to go along with this Sunday mandate that will be rolled out around the world for the sake of peace and safety,
yes,
will be seen as troublers of the people, as preventing the restoration to divine favor. We are heading in that direction, my friend.
Yes, and you used a phrase just there, troublers of the people. There was someone who was called the troubler of Israel.
And who was that?
Elijah.
And why?
Because they blamed him for the lack of rain.
Exactly. So there was a natural disaster. There was climate change going on in his day. And Elijah says, no, it's you, Ahab, you and your entourage, because you have forsaken the commandments of God.
That's right.
Fascinating stuff. I'm telling you, this is like happening right now before our very eyes.
Well, we need to sing
and
songs.
We read words 150 years ago these things were written.
Amazing. Stephanie Hill's going to bring to us that timeless classic, How Great Thou Art.
Amen.
God is truly great.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Sings my
everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, the hopeful is the code word.
All right. And I forgot to give a shout out to Alyssa. If she's still listening, shout out to you. She said she'd be listening after 4.
Okay, fantastic. Good to have you on board, Alyssa. All right. I want to wrap up on some of the things that are taking place right now. Like I said, this book, The Great Controversy, the vision that was given to Ellen White, which is the foundation of this book, was given in 1858.
Wow. We forgot to give our studio number.
Oh.
0488-817-624 for the code word. Hopeful.
Excellent. 0488-817-624. All right. So 150 plus years ago.
Incredible.
These words were written, a vision that God gave to Ellen White that lasted for about 2 hours, which is the whole Great Controversy, not just this book, but the entire Great Controversy series, those five books from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'd encourage people to read those books. It's called The Conflict of the Ages, those five books.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we've looked at Satan causing famine, distress, you know, destroying entire cities.
Mm-hmm.
So things are going to increase more and more. And, as we've just discovered, as Jesus told us, and it's interesting, she actually shares a scripture. Notice the scripture that she does actually talk about King Ahab.
Mm-hmm.
That's in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 and 18. You know, when it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?"
Mm.
And he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed Balaam."
Yes.
Or you have followed the Baals. And it's interesting in Matthew 24, verse 12, if you want to read Matthew 24, verse 12, have a look at what is at the end of time considered by God, by Jesus, who gives Matthew 24, as the reason we are having all these dramas and issues.
Very interesting. The Bible says that Jesus says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold."
Lawlessness will abound.
Global cooling.
And that's what it leads to. You know, Jesus said, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
If you don't love me, you will not keep my commandments.
That's right.
So can you see it's based on love?
Yes.
So where there's love, God's law is supreme. Where there is no godly love, then God's law goes out the window. And then you have all these dramas, which we have in society today. And she also quotes Isaiah 24, verse 4 and 5.
Okay.
This is what she shares, unless you're going to get there. Isaiah 24, verse 4 and 5.
Yeah.
She's quoting from the King James, and she quotes these words, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant."
Wow.
Will God's law be tampered with and changed on a worldwide basis at the end of time?
According to Bible prophecy, yes.
It will. You know, God's seventh-day Sabbath will be substituted for the first day of the week. We know that from Bible prophecy. Very, very clear. And so because of that, there will be drama. So it won't be God's people that will be causing these dramas and these great disasters, but it'll be Satan working through his power. She goes on, she says, "The miracle working power manifested through spiritualism will exert its influence against those who choose to obey God rather than men."
Mm.
Notice these words, "Communications from the spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of Sunday of their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the law of God." So there will be laws that will be put into effect in every nation under heaven, whereby worship mandates will be enforced. I believe it's going to happen gradually, And maybe we can do a bit of a study one day on why I've come to the conclusion that things will happen gradually, step by step by step. They'll be ramped up more and more. But spiritualism, communications from spirits. Do people today believe that there are aliens out there and other supernatural forces? Has Hollywood brought that to view?
Yes.
And books, and a lot of people believe that anyway. Isn't that right?
Totally.
Absolutely. And if you believe in life after death, is it possible that Satan can manifest through your grandma, your grandpa, your mother or father that's passed away, a friend, and say, look, I've come from heaven and I've come to give you a message from God that this is the direction you ought to go. I know this is what it says in the Bible and this is what you've believed all your life, but God has a message from heaven for you and I've come to share that with you. This is the way forward. This is the way of peace and safety. Is that possible?
It's very possible.
Absolutely. And so through spiritualism, through miracles, signs, and communications from these spirits.
And who are the spirits?
Exactly. Well, they're devils.
They're fallen angels.
They're fallen angels. And is there more and more talk out there of these extraterrestrial objects?
Yes.
You know, there was something in the US. It made its way through Congress. Remember that? We talked about it.
Yeah.
And so is Satan able to manifest himself and his demons with flying saucers and flying objects and so forth and so on, and individuals that look like they're from outer space, some kind of Martian creatures? Is he able to manifest? Is he able to pull something like that off, Sharissa? So what do you reckon?
Totally.
Absolutely. I'm not talking about a Hollywood movie. I'm talking about him pulling it off, the real deal, so it's real before everyone's eyes. Absolutely. With all the special effects that are real. And will that be convincing?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It'll be extremely convincing.
For many people, seeing is believing.
Exactly. And then notice, what are these spirits going to declare that have been supposedly sent from God? This is what she says. She says, they will lament the great wickedness in the world and second the testimony of religious teachers. So who's going to be on board? The religious teachers are going to be on board. That the degraded state of morals is caused by the destruction of Sunday. Great will be the indignation excited against all who refuse to accept their testimony. Wow. So that's kind of where it all lands. And then she goes on and she shares a whole bunch more there about, you know, how those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. So can you see how everything today is coming together? How Hollywood is working together with the religious world that believes in life after death, and Christians that are putting more faith and trust, many of them, in signs and wonders and miracles. Mm-hmm. All these things are coming to pass. And those who are not grounded in the scriptures will be swept away like this hurricane that's going to sweep everything in its path.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming down the road.
There's a storm coming.
Absolutely.
And the winds are picking up.
And you wouldn't believe it, Sharissa.
Yes.
What's the very next chapter to the impending conflict in the great controversy?
Is that the one I had open here?
Yes, chapter 37.
The scriptures, our only safeguard.
The scriptures, our only safeguard.
Scriptures are safeguard.
So what Ellen White here, under inspiration, she outlines from go to woe what the sequence will be and how it will intensify, and ultimately how spiritualism and Satanism and these spirits working through Satan, these demonic spirits. And then she says, if you want to stay afloat, if you want to stay on the right side, you're going to need to have your head firmly in the scriptures.
Scriptures
are our only safeguard.
Yes, that means that understanding and knowing how to study the Bible for yourself is actually a skill that everybody should be seeking for today. Like,
Absolutely.
Now's the time to have, you have a Bible, you have opportunity, you have freedom, have access. You should take the time and to learn how to read the Bible for yourself and apply it to your life and read it prayerfully, because it's a holy book. It's the word of God to our souls.
Amen.
That's so, so, I love how you just highlighted what she just said there, that in light of all of this, study God's word.
Study God's word. And I mean,
and
if
follow
you,
it.
Absolutely. And where you, and you've got to read verse Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm.
Have a look at how Jesus here finishes this sequence. And I believe this sequence is like just a summary of the end time scenario from Matthew 24, you know, verse 3 and 4, verse 4, I should say, all the way to verse 14, this sequence. If you want to read verses 11 to 14.
Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Mm.
I love it because that verse, verse 14, is written in the language of promise.
Amen.
Like, it doesn't matter how many obstacles are against mm-hmm. the spread of the gospel, it will go. Jesus says, it will go.
Absolutely. And so when you read...
Because I'm coming, he says.
Absolutely. And so when you read that scenario, you know, we talk about tribulation and there'll be those that will be persecuted. There'll be, you know, the love of many will grow cold because lawlessness will abound. There'll be deceptions. But Jesus says there'll be those that endure.
And they'll endure because they're looking up.
Exactly. They're looking up to Jesus and they're looking in the Word.
Looking in the Word is a way to look up. That's how you look up.
Exactly. And they are preaching the good news of the gospel. They are preaching that these are all signs that Jesus is coming back real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we talk about is pointing people to the soon return of Jesus, and we need to be in His Word. We mm-hmm. need to be in His Word. Very, very powerful.
Mm.
Very powerful. Let me finish off here how this chapter ends. And this is
the book, The Great Controversy.
This is the book,
right?
The Great Controversy. This is chapter 36, The Impending Conflict. She finishes off by saying the dignitaries of church and state will unite, not might unite,
mm-hmm.
will unite. So that's church and state will unite to bribe, persuade, or compel all classes to honor the Sunday. The lack of divine authority will be supplied by oppressive enactments. Okay, so this is where those labor pains will intensify. It's going to start off slowly, mm-hmm. and those oppressive enactments will just be wound up and the screws will be tightened more and more,
mm-hmm.
just like what happened during COVID. Political corruption is destroying the love of justice and regard for truth. And even in free America, and that's why America's in the front page of our Bible prophecy studies. Even in free America, rulers and legislators, in order to secure public favor so the people will be after this, will yield to the popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. Liberty of conscience, which has cost so great a sacrifice, will no longer be respected. In the soon coming conflict, we shall see exemplified the prophet's words from Revelation 12:17. She's quoting, "The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
The end of that chapter.
Yes.
And I'm going to share with you, you've got something to share there, and I'm going to share with you what someone in high political office in the United States, former high political, said about the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. That's going to blow your socks away.
Well, I might say my comment too, because I don't think I can make it in the little time I have.
In 13 seconds.
Yeah, but we have Nathan, I can't say the last name. Nathan's going to bring to us a beautiful song too. Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Beautiful song.
Power of God's Amazing Grace. Enjoy. Nathan Pacheco bringing to us Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And you're listening to the Looking Up program. A reminder, the code word today is hopeful. And the first 10 people, we've had a few, there's still some left though, the first 10 people to text in the word hopeful to our studio number 0488-817-624, you will receive today's giveaway, which is a double pass to the movie Hopeful, which premieres on October 17 across Australia and New Zealand. So we are hopeful that these tickets will all go today.
Indeed, indeed.
Yes. Well,
you were sharing a little insight.
Well, we both had some amazing things to say and we ran out of time.
We did, which is not strange at all.
No.
But you were sharing in connection with this church-state union
that we have
that portrayed in that Daniel 2 image. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, as you were reading that last paragraph in the 36th chapter,
yep, 36th chapter, of the impending conflict.
Great controversy written over 150 years ago, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's when the vision was given. This is the 1911 edition, so well over 100 years ago.
Okay. And the first line, the dignitaries of church and state will unite. And then it went on and on. I thought, that's interesting because, you know, in Daniel chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
where Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of that image, that great metal man and all of the different mm-hmm, metals, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. last was head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. And, you know, we talk about, as we let the Bible tell us, and Daniel came and explained it all to him, he said, you're the head of gold. So Babylon was the head of gold, followed by Medo-Persia and then Greece and then the legs of iron, which were the rule of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
When Rome it wasn't conquered like the others, it was divided into mm-hmm. 10, like the 10 mm-hmm. toes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because in the dream, God told Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel saw it and explained it too, that the feet would be partly of iron, partly of clay. And it's just interesting because in Jeremiah chapter 18, God says, he shows Jeremiah, he goes, takes him down to the potter's house, and he watches a potter at work. And then in verse 6 of Jeremiah 18, God says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? So it's like God wants to mold us. He's the potter. Mm-hmm. We are the clay.
Amen.
And he wants to work with us and mold us. And the Holy Spirit wants to transform us. But that iron is, of course, remnants of that, of state power, I guess.
That's right. That's the Roman political power.
The Roman political power. So it's their picture, this coming together.
And the church,
of church
is represented as this clay.
The clay. And you've got the church and state coming together. And that's the end. That's the toast. The next great event in Daniel 2 is the stone that comes and strikes the image. So we're right there.
And we've had church and state union since the papacy was born. And that's over 1500 years ago. We've got, you know, Daniel talked about that 1260 year period from 538 to 1798. So we had that 1260 year rule where there was papal supremacy, for much of that time. But you've got the kings and the queens of Europe in bed with the Church of Rome. That happened. That union happened during that period of the Dark Ages. And the church was able to persecute those that did not follow its dictates because the state gave it its power. But Revelation 13:3 tells us that that system of church and state would suffer what? A deadly wound. A deadly wound. But
it would be healed.
It would be healed. And in Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13, we once again have the merger of this church and state union, religion and politics coming together, the union of the iron and the clay. And who leads the way?
The papacy.
The papacy. That's what it says. Maybe, are you there in Revelation 17?
I am.
Okay. Do you want to read verse 12 and 13? And verse 14 is the stone, in Daniel 2 coming. It's literally a summary of Daniel chapter 2.
It just repeats and enlarges, doesn't it?
It does. It's incredible.
Okay. So Revelation 17 verse 12, New King James. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast.
Okay. So this is all the global political powers are represented as these 10 kings. Okay, and the beast is, of course, the Roman papacy.
Yes, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Then verse 14, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful.
And do we have that same scenario in Revelation chapter 14? We've got the mark of the beast crisis, right, in Revelation 14 verses 9 to 11. And then who are they making war with in verse 12?
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah.
They are the ones that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And what follows in Revelation 14 verse 12? What follows from verses 14 to 20? It's the
The coming of Jesus.
The coming of Jesus.
Yes.
That's it. And in Revelation 17, verse 14, the Lamb overcomes. He comes and he conquers and he puts an end. In Daniel chapter 2, the mighty rock that represents Christ, who is that rock.
The rock of ages.
The 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, I believe, if I remember correctly, you know, Christ was that rock that led them through the wilderness. And so we've got all these incredible powers. So when you put all the pieces.
1 Corinthians 10:4.
10:4, sorry. What does it say?
It says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
There you go. So who are they making war with? They're making war with Christ. They're making war with the Lamb. But the Lamb overcomes them. Because
Hallelujah.
He's King of kings and Lord of lords. It's just a powerful picture.
Oh, it's amazing.
Powerful picture. And it's just incredible. And we are seeing that all unfold before our very eyes. And folk, we have the sure word of prophecy. We've got the sure word of prophecy. All right. So was there anything else that you want to share on this church-state union? Because I've got a couple of things that I want to share on that.
No, you go ahead.
All right. This is something I just came across just the other day. There was a convention that took place in the United States, October 3 to 6, and it was hosted by the Family Research Council, and they were holding their fourth annual Pray, Vote, Stand Summit.
Okay. I'm fact checking.
Yes, fact check me. Yeah. So this was, so if you go to.
Yeah, there it is. Yep, I'm watching.
Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Anyway, notice what they're saying. So these are folk, and I'd encourage some of our listeners to go on there, and there was a number of panel discussions, there was a number of speakers, and guess what the bottom line was?
Mm.
The bottom line was we need to get God and his law and his word and God's policies back into government.
Mm-hmm.
This is like literally just happened now, you know, October 3 to 6, literally, you know, 2 days ago. Let me read to you from this press release that was made on October 3, on the very day that it began. And by the way, you've got speakers who are of a religious persuasion. You've got political speakers.
I'm recognizing the names.
There's a whole bunch of them there.
Yeah, look at that.
There's a whole bunch of them. Let me read to you this. And if this is not what we read in the Great Controversy, then I don't know what is. Okay. Today, so I'm reading this press release. Listen to this, folk. Today, Family Research Council and FRC Action, that is that group, will hold the fourth annual Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, which replaced FRC Action's previous flagship event, the Values Voter Summit. All right. The Pray, Vote, Stand Summit will gather Christians from across the nation to pray for our nation, to pray for Israel and the upcoming election. In addition to addressing policy issues of concern, the spiritually active, governance engaged conservatives, that's what they call themselves, the sage cons. The summit will include various discussions with political and theological experts on topics such as understanding the times, Israel, past, present and future. And we'll talk about that probably not today because we're going to run out of time, I can see. And a conversation about global governments and the WHO, to name just a few. And it goes on here, and I just want to share with you from the Family Research Council president what he has to say and how vital this summit is based on what's happening in America and all these dramas, these hurricanes, the immorality and everything. This is all playing into this narrative that we need
Incredible.
God back into the nation. So let me listen to this, Charissa. This is what he says, okay? Tony Perkins, Family Research Council president. All right. So this is from the big wig himself. He says, the cultural warning lights are flashing brightly on our nation's dashboard. America is in trouble. You remember that Time magazine? You know, Donald Trump in trouble? No.
Yes.
He was in the sandpit with his little buggy.
Yeah, I remember.
No. This is the nation that's in trouble. That's why I'm calling on Christians to come to Washington, D.C. for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Not as spectators, but as participants appealing to heaven, asking God to rend the heavens and come down. Quoting Isaiah 64, verse 1. He says, in just the past 2 months, there have been two assassination attempts on former President Donald Trump. Violence has gripped our nation as lawlessness invades our streets and institutions. Hello? What did we just read? Jesus said, and lawlessness will what?
Abound.
Let's keep reading.
Yes.
Neither political party is championing life or protections for the unborn.
We've got to look for a moral voice elsewhere.
Absolutely. Because they were like just really down on the Republicans, especially Donald Trump, who has stepped away from the two major pillars of the Republican Party. You know what they were? Marriage and family and the unborn.
Mm.
And you don't have those in the platform of the Republican Party. They're like, what has happened? Compromises come in.
Mm.
And so they are saying that we need God to intervene.
Mm.
Neither political, okay, I've just read that. Israel, our longtime friend and ally in the Middle East, is approaching 1 year at war since October 7. And the U.S. support is tepid. And then notice these final words, Charissa.
Yeah, I'm watching.
Are you there? Where
I am.
Okay, you
powerful.
Gotta read that last paragraph.
This is amazing. It says, only a return to God will heal our nation. This fall election is crucial, but it won't solve our nation's sin problem. It may even worsen it. The solution is deeper. It's spiritual. We must restore a healthy reverence for God in our society, which will lead to respect for the lives of others and bring back the security and stability our country once knew. Concluded Perkins.
Wow. That's all straight out of Bible prophecy,
wow.
My friend.
Yes.
What will they be crying out at the end of time? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3.
When they shall say, peace and safety.
What did Ellen White say? Let's bring up those words again.
Here we go.
Where were those words about prosperity? Here we go. Listen to this. They will be accused.
We're all listening. Listen to this.
See, I don't have my book. I'm going off the screen here. I don't have it there. But anyway, to bring back temporal prosperity. You remember that statement? To bring back temporal prosperity, laws will be put into place in order to bring back temporal prosperity. So that is where we are going now. So these oppressive enactments that will follow is because I'm talking about the United States of America. They've gone so far away, they realize only God, only God, and the nation following God and returning to God will heal a nation. One nation under God. We need to repent. We had that repentance service and ceremony and weekend, you know, at the beginning of this year. We talked about that, you know, repent and pray. So you're hearing more and more and more of this. Now, what is also interesting is that, you've got those U.S. dock workers who have gone back to work, by the way.
Yeah, we need to talk about those.
That's 45,000 U.S. dock workers that have gone back to work because a temporary deal has been struck.
A temporary deal. Which gets them through to January, is that
January, that's right. It expires on January 15. And if a more permanent solution is not found, they're going to look at striking again.
Well, you know,
about this last week.
Yeah, I've got something that someone shared with me about this. It's just amazing. But I don't think we have time to really talk about it. But Ellen White talked about labor unions as well.
She did. And that they'll cause such chaos and confusion that we cannot even begin to imagine. This is a small labor. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the largest. The largest labor union in America, the Teamsters, they've got 2 million members.
Wow.
If they decide to all go on strike, you know, this is going to affect the whole world.
Well, we need a song. Let's listen to Anthem Lights. Bring to us a song entitled, Yes, I Will. Enjoy.
I count on one thing, the same God who never fails will not fail me now. Will not fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Is working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now. In the waiting, the same God is never late. It's working all things out. It's working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I. Your name. Oh yes, I will. high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
My eyes fell looking for you. My eyes fell looking for you.
This is the Looking Up program, and time is against us, it feels.
We need another hour.
We are already in our last segment. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
A little plug, because there's just only a handful left now. Most have been claimed, but our hopeful giveaway today, we've got 10 double passes available for the first 10 people who connect with us by simply texting today's code word to the number 0488-817-624. The number is hopeful. The code word is hopeful, and the number is 0488-817-624. So there's still a chance, if you haven't already tried, to obtain that giveaway.
Fantastic. All right, we are in the last section here, and there's a few things I'm going to fly through, Charissa, in these next 14-odd minutes that we have. I found that statement. I don't have my book with all the underlines. It's all easy to find and all my little post-it notes. But going back to that page 590, this is what she says. And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. Okay. The evils that we've been talking about, you know, all the disasters, immorality, wars, everything. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared. Now, this is the sentence here. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath. That this sin has brought calamities which will not cease. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to continue Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. Okay. So it's not going to be enforced strictly to begin with. It's going to be loose.
Yeah.
It's going to be by choice, but then that's going to be ramped up. And that this sin. Oh, no, I've read that. And that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people. And now this section here, especially, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Isn't that what our friend said from the Family Research Council?
Mm-hmm.
He said exactly those words. You know?
Amazing.
Incredible. So we are seeing that. And now I'm just going to zip through a couple of things. Now, what's happening in the Middle East is a real tragedy. But let's not forget that this is one of many wars that are taking place right now. You know, just to remind our listeners that the last time we were together or the previous week, I shared from the Global Peace Index that at the moment we have the highest number of countries engaged in conflict since World War II.
Wow.
56 conflicts around the world right now, the most since World War II, that are involving 92 different countries.
Mm.
So what did Jesus say? There'd be wars and
rumors of wars,
and those labor pains will escalate. Who is behind it all? The devil and Satan. We just read that from that chapter. in the great controversy. Now, that being the case, it's fascinating some of the alliances that are being brought together and how this, I believe, is going to play in the final conflict. I'm going to need to spend a lot more time on this, but just today, I'm just going to share with you that you've got Russia and Iran that are getting closer and closer together. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese are kind of part of that mix, whereas you've got Europe, Israel, and the United States, the main backer of Israel. So where are those Middle Eastern Islamic countries going to go? Which way are they going to go? Are they going to go with Iran or are they going to go with Israel? And so the jury's out at the moment, and so there's a lot of tension. In the meantime, in the space of a couple of weeks in Lebanon, out of 5.5 million people, 1.2 million people have been displaced in the space of 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
14 days.
That's amazing.
It's beyond.
How many people?
1.2 million.
1.2 million.
In 14 days. That's more than one. That's almost 100,000 people a day being told by the Israelis, they're sent messages on their phones to evacuate their villages. Entire villages are evacuated and are left as ghost villages. People are sleeping on the streets. They're sleeping just wherever they can. It's just a horrible situation. You've got refugees in Lebanon that have come from Syria because there's fighting in Syria. They've come from Syria as refugees into Lebanon, and these Syrian refugees in Lebanon are now heading back into Syria because it's safer there than it is in Lebanon. And the United Nations said that they were able to probably deal with about 100,000 people, which is still a lot of people, 100,000 people, providing them food and water and medical and winter's coming on, you know, providing them housing and so forth. They're like, this is beyond us. We can't. The Gaza war is still going on. Everybody's waiting for Israel to retaliate.
Yeah.
Based on what Iran did with those missiles, those ballistic missiles. How will they retaliate? How bad will it be? What will Iran do next? So there's just so much strife and tension. And so we've got this build up of tension. The pot is boiling and the cry for peace and safety.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get stronger.
It's only going to get stronger. It's only going to get louder.
Mm.
And we know that at the end of time, that's what will bring the world together. So could it be that we're heading to a time where this world is going to be in complete chaos and confusion, whichever way you look at it, whether it be natural disasters, whether it be wars, whether it be famines, whether it be immorality, whatever it is, you pull all the pieces together. We are now converging with these signs. It's going to bring about that cry for peace and safety. It's going to bring about the things we've just read about. Designating one day every week. Doesn't make sense to designate one day every week for the sake of world peace and safety, world peace and security. Can you think of a better idea right now?
No. I mean, like it all.
No, I can't.
You're just drawing the dots and it's
you can't.
The pictures there.
I can guarantee you that if someone was able to come up with a plan right now at the United Nations to alleviate all the wars, all the destruction, all the mayhem through the means of worldwide peace and safety and designate one day to be that day for world peace and safety, they will all jump at it.
Mm.
They will all. Doesn't matter what the political leaders are saying. It's what the people will want.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not be able to hold back 8 billion people who are suffering. And that suffering is going to increase seeking for peace and safety. Can you see all that?
Yes.
Taking place. All right. So that was that headline regarding Russia and Iran coming together. And by the way, that also has got interesting ramifications when it comes to the evangelicals and their understanding of Bible prophecy and the Russians.
And the United, King of the North?
The King of the North, the King of the South.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
We'll need to do a study on that there. Yeah. We certainly can't do that in 5 minutes. We've talked about the dock workers and the unions are going to be in the thick of it at the end. Like everyone, this is going to be an all-in.
Mm.
You know, I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid, WrestleMania, and they used to have these all-ins, you know, all-in brawl or at the rugby league or State of Origin, you know, when two guys start punching each other. And what often happens?
Everyone jumps on.
Everyone jumps on. It's a pile on. It's an all-in brawl. Mm. We call it an all-in brawl. Well, at the end of time, it's going to be an all-in. All these things are going to come together. Now, what's really interesting is, yeah, these unions are going to create a lot of strife, a lot of strife. Now, some of the crazy things that are happening where people are going to say enough is enough. I was just going to read to you this one headline here from, this was September 9 from the Christian Post. Just read the headline to you. I'm not going to comment. People will be able to understand what this article is about. School forced girl to sleep with male, allowed non-binary female to supervise boys' showers. Lawsuit.
That's just so confusing and sick. It's terrible.
The parents of this girl are now putting forward a lawsuit.
Wow.
This is what's happening in our schools.
What a mess.
Okay, so, and then you've got our friend, you remember Sal Glover, the one that...
Which friend is this?
This is Sal Glover, who has that app that's just for women, okay, a safe place just for women. You remember that? Tickle versus giggle. Well, anyway, she's appealing the ruling to the Australian High Court, if I remember correctly. Yes, to the federal court, appealing the decision about women's sex-based rights. And you can go through and you can read her statement, which is entitled "Standing Up for Women's Rights: A Call for Fairness and Single-Sex Spaces." Mm. She's saying no. If you're born a female, you're welcome. If you're not born a female, I'm sorry, you're not welcome. I don't care what society says. I don't care what laws are in place. So this is a law. Do you know what? Eventually, people are going to say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. And they will rebel. All right. Now, John Kerry. Interesting. Okay. You've got
a lot there.
Yeah. I'm going through them real quick. John Kerry. This is what... This Faithwire article, John Kerry says First Amendment is major block to stopping disinformation, hopes to implement change to that. Guess what that was in connection with? It was in connection with climate change. He was at a World Economic Forum and he was asked how, you know, the First Amendment is impacting this climate change discussion. Because people can put all sorts of information on the internet that is not true, that is, you know, climate fiction, according to Kerry. And this is what he had to say. Listen to this. He says, you know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have some accountability on facts. It says, if people only go to one source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, have an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to be able to just, you know, hammer it out. And he goes on and he shares. And basically he's saying that the First Amendment that allows for freedom of speech, even if you're sharing nonsense, right? He says that is standing in the way of us sharing the truth and ensuring only the truth is shared on climate change with the wider public.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting.
Is the First Amendment going to come under attack at the end of time?
That's the
separation of church and state. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we've got Disney, this Book of Bill. This Book of Bill, parents, if you're out there, Book of Bill. It's a New York Times bestseller, and this book is as demonic as you can get. As demonic as you can get. It's supposedly only for adults, but kids are reading it. It's, it's my sister Lydia. She put me onto this and she shared with me her father's testimony and I did a bit of research and it is absolutely horrible. And I'm not going to even read to you, some of this description because it's too much. But folk, be mindful what your children are reading. The Book of Bill. It sounds innocent, doesn't it?
It does.
The Book of Bill. It's anything but this book is as demonic as you can get. And so why do I share this? At the end of time, what is Satan ramping up? Spiritualism. Mm. Isn't that right?
Yes.
He's going to the hearts and the minds of the young as well as the old through movies, through books, through the occult that has been made.
Whatever avenue he can get into.
Disney is one of the means and the mechanisms. I tell people, if you care about your children, you're not going to allow them to watch Disney. Mm-hmm. If you care about your children, if you care about their spiritual health and well-being, you will not let them go anywhere near the Disney movies that are put out today.
True.
It's just poison. Absolute poison. Absolute poison. All right. The first president of Mexico was sworn in the other day. Did you know that?
I did not.
Okay. And do you know that they had state-sponsored sun worship at Mexico's presidential inauguration?
Is that so?
I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this. They literally worship.
Sun worship.
They literally worship towards the sun.
Wow.
Okay. Let me read to you just a little bit. It says here in this article, we are going to begin. This is what was said there as the president's being inaugurated. We are going to begin our sacred ceremony and we are going to raise our hands in the direction where the sun rises in the east. We raise our hands. We invoke the Nahola supernatural spirits, the deities and other beings and divine spirits that inhabit this place. We ask for life, illumination and wisdom for the constitutional president, Dr. Claudio, and I can't pronounce her surname, Pardo. We ask for your divine light to accompany her, to illuminate her in every step she takes, in every decision to her and her work team. We entrust her to our African ancestors to give her the resistance and so forth. And then it finishes off here, this little section. We ask you, Father Son, that you may inhabit her heart just as you live in each heart of the girls and women of Mexico.
Wow.
This was a straight out worship ceremony directed at invoking the sun god. Sun worship, which happened in Bible times and will happen at the end of time.
Oh, dear.
This is mind-boggling.
It is on every front. But let's listen now to Tennessee Ernie Ford bring to us a song that's very old, but the message is so true. Almost Persuaded.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go your way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost.
Almost persuaded.
But
love.
Well, I thought you were going to join in with that final
sorry
stanza.
About that, everyone.
You can sing really well, though.
Almost persuaded, but lost.
Oh, wow.
May God help us to be fully persuaded.
Yes.
Not
yes.
almost.
Indeed, indeed.
Pastor Danny, we have just enough time for you to make some final summative statements and share with our listeners.
You know what? If it's not the clock winding down, we would carry on. Well, I certainly would forever and a day.
Yep.
But hope and pray that each and every person has realized that Jesus is coming soon, and our only hope, our only way forward is to have the scriptures as our safeguard, to be looking up, to be close to Jesus, to be spending time with him.
Amen.
As you know, I think of that little saying that you sent me a little while ago. You know, people who watch the news know what's going on in the world. People who read their Bibles know why. And so we know why these things are taking place, because they are telling us that Jesus is coming soon, and we praise the Lord for that. And I just want to finish off sharing with you just this little sentence here in this inauguration service of the Mexican president.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to share a scripture, a final thought. It says here, this was part of the invocation. From the center of the earth, we ask forgiveness. So this is the prayer that is being offered to the sun god, to the ancestors, and so on and so forth. We ask forgiveness to our mother earth because we have disrespected her. We have suffered with her all these climate changes. So they're asking and praying for mother earth to forgive, because as a result of how we have destroyed the climate, we are now suffering as a result.
Mm.
That all plays into what we've looked at today, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that final showdown. So because of all this and what is happening and telling us that Jesus is coming soon, I want to go to where God will, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, Sharissa, this is what God promises, Revelation 21 and verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea.
Mm.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Beautiful words.
True peace.
True peace by the Prince of Peace. Mm. Can we put our faith and trust in these words?
Yes.
Notice what we read next. You want to read verses 5-7.
Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
So that's God's invitation to all of us, Sharissa.
Yeah.
God wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his sons and daughters, and he's offering this water of life freely. He's offering this new world where there's not going to be any more war, no more refugees, no more earthquakes, no more hurricanes, no more divorce, no more disease, no more death, no more destruction, no more you fill in the blanks, but we will live in the city of peace, the New Jerusalem, with the Prince of Peace, and we will forever enjoy peace, happiness, joy at the right hand of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is the invitation to each and every one of us, because this is where history will end.
Mm.
And there'll be no more end. There'll be no more, you know, that's
conflict,
it.
Conflict, no more wars. The wars will be over.
That's it. And for eternity, those who are part of God's kingdom will enjoy that blessing and that joy that we are so longing for on this earth, but this earth will never provide it. Mm. Only God can provide that.
Ah, that's a beautiful thought for us to be left with as we come to the end of today's program, and we need to pray to close out. Pastor Danny, would you close out?
Sure. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for your blessings. We want to thank you again for your word. We want to thank you for the sure word of prophecy that tells us that we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be anxious when we see all these things taking place around us. We are to look up, because these things are telling us that your coming is drawing near and that our redemption is nigh.
Amen.
May we all receive that water of life freely. May we all receive that gift of eternal life that you've provided. May we all ensure that our hearts and our lives are founded in Christ and his word is our prayer in his name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back same time, same place, this time next week. And congratulations to today's hopeful winners. We had a few here, so that's great. If you've texted in, then your entry was received and we'll connect with you shortly to obtain your address. But until next time, may God be with you all. Stay here because the Drive Time Show comes to you live now from Adelaide. And always remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. So keep looking up and keep looking to Jesus.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me. Song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary,
to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. He looked beyond my fault and saw